Hi everyone, it's Gavin J, the best thing since gold. And you're listening to the Therapy Suite right here on UK Health Radio, the world's number one talk health radio. This week, I welcome back Kezia Kesebas, holistic therapist who also was diagnosed with MS. We'll be discussing MS and some of the charity fundraising events she'll be involved in. Kezia, welcome back to the show. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. It's lovely to be back again.
Welcome back. Great to have you back on the show. Just for our listeners, can you just remind us a bit about before you got involved in everything you've been getting involved in, a bit about what happened and that kind of thing? Is that okay? Just to give us a refresher.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I got diagnosed with MS in 2007. It was halfway through my holistic therapy training. So I got diagnosed with MS halfway through my training, and then I hid it for, I think I worked out 11 and a half years of hiding it, which is a really long time. I thought it was 10 years, but it was 11 and a half. I now realized it's because I couldn't deal with the diagnosis. And so I just sort of buried it and thought, if I don't talk about it, it's not really happening. But MS, as most of you probably know, is degenerative, so you do slowly get worse.
Yeah, no, of course, of course. And yeah, that's a long time, isn't it? To kind of
Long time.
keep it, something to keep something to yourself. And obviously that's absolutely understandable for you, because it's about you and how best you manage what was going on. Did you feel which once you started opening up about it, that it helped you in a way as well?
Oh, massively. I mean, I think looking back, hindsight is always a very difficult thing. I mean, I hid it because I was thinking, because I opened up as I was doing holistic therapy treatments for people, and I was concerned that clients might think, they couldn't burden me with doing massages, or, people might think they can catch it. Because if you don't know about an illness, I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but how would you know if you can catch something if you don't know about it? And MS is quite widely known about now, but at one point it wasn't that available. The information is not always available, so I was worried that people think they could catch it, that they wouldn't want to be a burden on me. And obviously, if you're starting a business, you want people to come to you. But when I came out to the world as having MS, it was, like you said, a massive relief. And people's reactions were not what I was expecting, because I came out because I had to fundraise, because I needed to raise a lot of money to have another treatment. That's a whole long story.
I think you've done great, just how did you found out about it, and for all those years you kept it to yourself, how did you manage your mental well-being?
Well, initially, like I said, because I just hid it. I just didn't deal with it. It was almost like a small child putting your finger in your ears and going, la la, nothing's wrong. And I was doing the medication that was prescribed, injections every other day initially. And then because I was getting like rashes, but I think that was a stress reaction because I was panicking, if I'm honest. I then moved to weekly injections, and those were for quite a few years. And then obviously my MS progressed, and then I went to infusions at the hospital monthly, still in the closet at this point. And then it was only when I came out because I was getting worse, and the doctor pretty much said, really sorry, you're going to be in a wheelchair by Christmas. And I'm very stubborn. It's literally my surnames mean stubborn in Turkish. And I was like, no. And I'd heard about this stem cell transplant, which is it's quite a strong treatment. So you have chemotherapy to try and kill off, well, lower your immune system, and then you have your stem cells reboosted into you. But it was an awful lot of money. So I don't have that sort of cash. So I had to come out to the world to try and raise the money to have this stem cell transplant.
And from then onwards, my understanding is it was successful. Is that correct?
Oh, massively. Yes, hugely.
Because
I mean, I
I
was.
remember our last show when you spoke about it and you praised how much you had to travel. Is that right? Was it to
Yeah, I went
Russia?
to Russia.
That's right. I
I went to
remember.
Russia. I mean, I managed to dodge many, many bullets and went to Russia before everything broke out.
Before COVID, wasn't it?
Before COVID, before
Brexit. Gosh, good timing.
Honestly,
what timing?
It was unbelievable timing. And it was 3 months after I was allowed out, after the chemo, after I was strong enough after the chemo, that COVID hit. So it was 3 months. And then I was like, yay, I'm free. And then it was COVID. And Leicester, where I'm based, was the first place to get locked down. So I was just like, but I've already done this. So it gave me loads of time, you know, think and sort of physio. And that's why I ended up writing a book, because I was like, I've been in lockdown, you know, on my own for 3 months. And now I'm back in lockdown again. So I had a lot of time.
Oh, absolutely.
A lot of thinking.
Gosh. Medications. So when at the time when you were first diagnosed, was medication involved at all?
Yes, it was injections. So there was an injection at the time called Betaferon. So it's an injection that you do alternate days. So you have sort of site areas. So you can do your thighs, you can do like your bingo wings, your tummy. But obviously you're trying not to get the same spot twice. So they suggest originally to do like a noughts and crosses board on your legs. But I was a bit like, it's a bit too scary. So I never did my stomach. And I tried to do my arms, so my bingo wings once, and it slipped. So I was down to both my thighs. And luckily they're not tiny. So I had a decent area to keep jumping between. So for my thighs, and that was the initial one. And then because I was getting really stressed by the medication every other day, that I moved to a weekly, which made it a bit more dealable with, as it were.
What were some of the symptoms of the medication?
Well, I remember I used to do it on a Monday, and then on a Tuesday, I was wiped out. So it felt like I had flu, everything was weak. I was literally almost just in bed every Monday. So I ruled out Mondays, because I always did it on a Sunday, and I ruled out this was the when it gone to the weekly. And just literally felt like you had the worst flu. So weak, so tired. And then I think, like anything, you eventually get used to it. And I was on that, I don't know how many years, quite a few years, but my MS did slowly progress and get worse, unfortunately. And then the neurologist just said, okay, we're going to put you on something else. And I went on to Tysabri, which is a weekly infusion at the hospital. So in one way, it was much easier. Not weekly, sorry, monthly. So it was only monthly, and someone else is doing the needle for you. So that was much easier. And that seemed to work really well, you know. So you probably couldn't really tell. But then slowly I went to needing a walking stick and then needing two walking poles and then to the point where I was almost dragging myself. And that's when the doctor was like, I'm really sorry, it doesn't seem to be working. I think I was on Tysabri for 6 years. And then he said, I'm really sorry, it doesn't seem to be doing anything anymore. And that's when I was like, okay, what else can I do? And he said, I'm really sorry, there's nothing else you can try. And I said, what about a stem cell transplant? And he said, you're too far gone because you move to progressive MS. So relapsing, remitting, you get bad and then get slowly a little bit better, get bad, a tiny bit better. But with the secondary progressive, I think it is, you get slowly worse and worse and you can't get better. So he said, you've just sort of, you've switched over. And I was like, no, I'm going to have a stem cell transplant. And then I think I was telling you about it last time, I went to a talk and there was lots of neurologists talking about treatments, lots from London talking about statistics. But there was one happy Russian neurologist that jumped up and he said, we are all family, we do it together, we are friends all over the world. And because he was, I call him the hippie smiley doctor, I was like, if I'm ever crazy enough, I'm going to go to Russia. And that's exactly what I did. Came out to the world, fundraised, and went to Russia for Dr. Fedorenko. Gosh. So he was incredible, incredible.
Do you still take any medications at the moment?
I do. Diet-wise, I'm doing a keto diet, and that seems to help energy-wise massively. Medications, I've got baclofen, which is for cramping. But that's it, really. I'm careful with my diet. I don't do any injections, which is lovely. So, yeah, I do a lot of mindfulness and meditation and, yeah, not prescribed things so much. So I try and do everything naturally and try and, a big thing with MS, like any illness, is your stress. So I try to keep my stress very minimal, because if I get stressed, I get poorly. And it sounds really cutthroat, but it's exactly like that. If I get stressed, angry, anything like that, then I will get ill. So I try and constantly stay as upbeat as possible. I do gratitudes every day. My children do them. They used to roll their eyes when they were younger, but I'm like, no, no, come on. But now my daughter can just reel them off without even thinking about it. It's a natural thing that we do constantly. So, and I think if you do gratitudes regularly, it keeps you almost like at a high level, so that stress is easier to deal with if you are under any stress.
Right. And do you have any symptoms of MS at the moment, or because of the way you're managing things, it's very minimal, if not noticeable at all?
I still walk with a walking stick, so I have to still use a stick to walk. I mean, the heat is not great for me, but it's not great for anyone, is it? Because it's boiling in Leicester at the moment. But I think I manage everything very well. So I think I go on the spoon theory. So I don't know if you've heard of the spoon theory. So you have a certain amount of spoons every day, and then you're very careful how you use them. So, for example, if I have a shower, you know, I give myself a little break. If I'm working, then I won't do my food shopping. So I'm very careful about how I'm using my pockets of energy, as it were, every day. And I sort of plan everything.
Of course, because you've got the kids as well, haven't you?
Yes. Well, one of them's fully grown. So fully grown. I don't know if you ever are, 20.
Okay,
so he's moved out and married.
Oh, good for him.
I know, he's doing really well. And then my daughter's 13.
Oh.
So she's pretty self-sufficient, and she's used to gratitude, so she can just reel them off.
Oh, I'm sure you've taught her all about gratitude and everything
constantly.
Like that.
Yeah.
So you find yourself on a daily basis managing yourself to a point of being able to basically utilize your energy properly, so that you don't basically lose. It's about maintaining that quality of lifestyle, isn't it? Doing
Absolutely.
What you want to do. Which we'll be talking about, you know, shortly, and, you know, all the things you're doing, but making sure, and I think this goes for everybody, really, energy-wise, we've all got to be careful about energy, don't we?
Definitely. It's choosing, you know, making the choices. What am I choosing to do today? Even like just with the heat, you know, for everyone, it's really hot. You don't want to be cleaning your whole house in the heat. You know, it's picking the right times to do things. And
then,
you know, choosing, you know, my energy, I'd rather spend my energy working than cleaning my house. I have a cleaner, you know, so you just sort of maintain your energy levels by choosing, you know, what is worth doing on each day, and make sure you're not doing too much.
Absolutely. Absolutely. We're just going to a quick
a station that makes you feel good.
If optimizing your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one super supplement brand, help you achieve that in the most convenient and comprehensive way possible. Clean, premium ingredients scientifically formulated to work in synergy to support immunity, energy, joints, heart health, sleep, emotional balance, and more. Benefit from the power, purity, and positivity of our award-winning powder sachets or our therapeutic capsule range. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com and save 15% off today. Super supplements for a super you.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
So Kezia, thank you for the introductions and talking a bit more about MS. How do you manage yourself at the moment? I know you've spoken a bit about what you do, but going into a bit more detail, what does your week, what does Kezia's day week look like to manage the condition?
I do things regularly. So I do Qigong on a Monday, and that's on a Zoom, so that's quite good. And I do Tai Chi on a Wednesday. So Qigong Monday, Tai Chi on a Wednesday. And then I go and have oxygen and physiotherapy. So Thursday is a long day for me. And then I do working in between. So Thursday is always my me day. So it's a hardcore day, but it's all about me.
Of course, of course. And the Friday and the weekends, I'm guessing, is family and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I alternate. So I do like a weekend of working and then a weekend of family weekend. But my son always comes every Thursday with his wife. So we have like a little family thing every Thursday. And then, yeah, I make sure that we do a lot of fun things. So, for example, my friend's always saying, you're always... you know, you're always doing things, you're always away, you're always this, you're that. And I was like, absolutely, life is for enjoying. So, you know, I work hard, I do work hard, but I make sure I play really hard as well. You know, so we're off to Turkey soon, so for family holiday. But it's like, I will make sure that I am doing things. And even if it's just little things, like we've got a paddling pool in the garden the other day, and we're just literally playing in the garden, but I will make sure that we play harder than we work, if that makes sense.
Absolutely. I think at this moment in time, trying to keep cool is the main thing.
Yes, that's what a paddling pool is great for.
And can heat exacerbate some of the symptoms as well?
Yes, definitely. A lot of MS, it's, I know lots of people that I've spoke to at the MS center are really struggling with the heat. I prefer heat slightly over really cold, because I cramp in the cold. I really don't like cold. But then it's really odd, because I was wondering if it is there's something with regulation with people with MS. It's the heat regulations, whether it's too hot or too cold. It seems to, you know, put people back a bit. So yeah, it's really, you can see people really struggling, like the people that are around me generally. But especially with conditions like MS, they're really struggling.
Oh dear. All right. Okay. How long have you been going to Leicester MS Therapy Centre? Let's talk a bit more about the centre, because you're very familiar with it. So talk to us about it.
When I was first diagnosed, so 2007, and when I was first diagnosed, they took me to the centre. And there were people in wheelchairs, people with walking sticks. I didn't have anything at this point. And it freaked me out, if I'm honest. I was like, I'm never going back here again, because I'm not like them. I'm okay. I'm well. Because I was so scared. And I was like, I will never go back here. No, no, no. And that was it. And just, it was literally like putting my fingers in my ears and going, that's not me. That's not me. These are poorly people, not like me. And then my fatigue was one of the first things. I was so tired. And the MS nurse said, what about trying the oxygen therapy at the center? And I was like, okay. So then I started going to the center for oxygen. So I literally would park up, go into the chamber, have oxygen and leave. And I was literally like as sneaky as I possibly could, because I was thinking, I'm not like that. And then I ended up working there. So I was covering maternity leave, because the manager was like, oh, you do therapies. And I was like, yes. And she goes, do you fancy working here for a bit? And I was like, oh, I can do. And she said, just to cover maternity leave. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I literally started working there for, I think it was 9 months, and actually got to speak to people. And it was amazing for me, like research-wise, because I was doing a lot of reflexology, which reflexology I absolutely love. But it meant that I had loads and loads of people's feet that had reflexology. You know, so I could see all these MS people's feet. So I was like doing my own little studies, and I was like, oh, I have all sorts of things. So I wrote notes and everything, and I was like, oh, I thought I'd found a cure and all this. But anyway, so I was working there, and then there was a physiotherapist there. There's always physios at the center now. And she was running a class, and it was so interesting, because we were sat there and these ill people suddenly became real people when I was in a class with them. It's awful, because I was so ignorant and I didn't want to deal with it. It was someone was saying, oh, he can't, you know, this chap can't speak. And the therapist was saying, I'll do the counting if someone else can help with the counting. And she was a Spanish physio. And she was like, one, two, oh, I forget that someone else count. And the man that couldn't speak sort of made a joke and went to Santander. And I was like, what? And everybody laughed. And it was suddenly, you know, the room changed and people were trying. Someone was saying, oh, she was saying, wiggle your toes. And he was like, oh, he can't move his toes. And she said, just try. The point is just to try. And it was amazing that this room of ill people, you know, I got to know. And then when I was treating everyone, you know, I became very close to these people and I could understand all the different, you know, things that people were going through. And it was complete ignorance because I didn't want to deal with it. But actually working there, I got to know people, you know, and some of them were like, oh, you're running late. So I was terrible. So I'd start talking with people. The treatments would be longer. And then someone's like, you're running late. And then someone's like, oh, she's got MS. And they were like, really? Because I was still like, oh, I haven't got to deal with it. But it was just, it was wonderful. Working at the center is so lovely. And now I go there every week for physiotherapy and for oxygen as well. And just to chat to people and drink coffee. And it's just such a wonderful open place.
Oh, that's brilliant. Fantastic. It's strange how you were in the beginning, you were obviously, well, no, it's not strange, but you were uncomfortable.
Yes.
And then you ended up working there.
Yeah, I know.
And it helped as well. And it helped as well. That's interesting. That's interesting, isn't it?
It's so interesting because I just didn't want to deal with the fact that that was your to be. I was likely to get worse. And I did get worse. But it was just, yeah, naivety, ignorance. It was ignorance is bliss. You know, it was just. But then, no, now I can think of no safer, more wonderful opening place. It is just so supportive.
I think it's totally understandable, you know, for feeling the way you did. I think, and I think a lot of people, maybe it's not some people, but, you know, I'm sure some people would also, you know, be in that same kind of emotional state. Like you're thinking, yes. Oh, you know, I've got this, I've been told I have this. And, you know, to be around other people with the condition, you know, it can be challenging possibly to kind of try and, you know, move forwards like that. Or in that,
yeah.
When you're thinking, I really want to kind of get past this now. And then, you know, it can't be easy. So I totally understand.
It's so frightening. It's really frightening. And
absolutely.
We always think of the worst case scenario because you do automatically as humans. You think, oh, worst case scenario. And we do. And it's, you know, actually, I have to be honest, coming out to the world as being disabled was one of the biggest, bravest things I've ever done. And the amount of support was incredible. And it made it so much easier. And I always say to people, in my honesty, I found my power. It was only when I told people that I suddenly, you know, got this big oomph. And I was like, no, I am incredible. I am, regardless of having MS.
Absolutely. No, totally. At the centre, do they do other activities? It's mainly for therapy, etc. But is there anything else involved at the centre?
There's physiotherapists, and they have regular weekly sessions. They have lower limb sessions, and they have upper body sessions as well. And they've got all the equipment there. So whenever they're open, you can go up and use the equipment. You can book one-on-one physios. They do treatments at the centre as well. And there's an oxygen chamber, which is fantastic, and oxygen can only help. So there's people, lots of people that haven't got MS go there with various different conditions, and because oxygen can only help, you know, it's a natural source. So lots of people go there with MS and with different conditions as well, and people recovering, you know, that have been in accidents.
Oh, of course, because the center is it multiple different conditions that they where they work with people, or
yes because it says the MS center, but there's a chap at the moment, he's had a stroke, he's working there. There's a lady with dementia, there's cancer, literally anything, because the center is so welcoming. I mean, obviously it's called Leicestershire MS Therapy Center, but it helps so many people, not just MS.
Okay, so it's just, there's a few different
conditions and situations where the centre helps people, which is brilliant. You know, I think it's good to have a, you know, a broad service. How did you first find out about the therapy centre? Is it when you were first diagnosed?
When I was first diagnosed, they took me and I was like, never going back here. And then, like I said, I ended up working there and then went for the oxygen. And now I go regularly. I go for physio, I go for oxygen, I go just to chat with
them. Oh, so you go for oxygen there as well? It's like a one-stop place, is it?
Yeah, I go, yeah, they have their own oxygen chamber, yeah, so there's one in there.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Yeah, the oxygen is the most bizarre thing. You have a gas mask on and you're in like almost like aeroplane seats and you have, yeah, you have this gas mask on and then they take you to pressure because I think they use it for, is it for submarines, you know, when people are going under? So that's what they're used for originally.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, yeah, I know. Decompression, is it? Decompression?
That's it, yes.
I might be getting it wrong. I don't know. Yeah, okay, all right. So the centre was originally used for that, and then obviously it transitioned. Yeah, very interesting, very interesting. Yeah. And do they support many people in the community?
Yeah, there's about 450, it'll probably be more now, active members, but it's increasing constantly. And they also support a lot of people that are homebound. So the centre will contact them, check they're okay. So I mean, I say 450, but it'll be more than that because there's people all the time that are adding membership. So it's an awful lot of people that access the centre.
Is it, can anyone just go there or do you have to be in the area or?
Yeah, I mean, you can self-refer. You can literally them up. I mean, the manager is wonderful. You know, anyone there, they'll say, just pop in. They always say, pop in, have a cup of coffee, have tea. There's always cakes all over the table. You know, they are so welcoming. So you don't have to have MS. You don't have to have a condition. You can literally just go along. You know, you can go along and, you know, use the equipment. There's physios up there. You can just go and drink coffee and talk to people. It's so laid back. It's such a wonderful place.
Oh, great. Sounds brilliant. And have you made many friends there?
Oh, loads. Loads. So, and it's really nice because everyone's from different walks of life. So there's different ages, you know, just people from all over. And some people travel in because the centre is so welcoming and so friendly. So there's always people there, always people bringing in cakes and samosas and various different things. So it's a really lovely place. It really it welcomes everyone with open arms. It is, a little gem.
Do you offer your services to them as well, like holistic therapy and that kind of thing?
I do. We do physiotherapy. And one of the girls there, one of my friends now, she does like boxing. So there's a few of us that do boxing and do stretching and things. And then I do like a mindfulness class. So it's just, you know, we have our own classes within. So we go for the weekly physiotherapy lower limb classes we do. And before that, Vicky creates a boxing class. So we do the boxing class and then I do a relaxation class. So it's like we've sort of created little pockets and little classes within the centre.
Oh, I think that's brilliant. I think that's brilliant. I think it's great that you've, you know, networked and everyone can help each other, can't they? They can talk about what's going on.
And I think it's nice because people are in the same boat. You know, and people can talk openly because there are things with MS that you wouldn't want to shout out about, but there you can, and you can make a joke about it. And a lot of things with humour is the best, it's the best weapon against anything, humour. So if you can laugh about things, it makes it much easier to deal with.
Is it stem cell that you went through? Was that the procedure? Do you know anyone else that from the centre or other people that have tried the procedure?
Just the people that I met in Russia. Oh, there was one lady. Oh, no, I'm lying. The more I think about it, I do know. There was one lady that had the treatment before me and I met her when I went to the original talk. And then she'd got back from, she went to Russia as well and had a stem cell transplant. And then I met her in a car park. And she gave me loads of fundraising things and she was still masked up because she was in her period where she was meant to not be near anyone, but she literally met me to help me. You know, she'd had that. And another lady had treatment about a year before me and she was, you know, she did a fundraiser while I was in Russia for me. So you make up this incredible network. I mean, I say I've got stem cell brother and stem cell sisters from when I had the actual treatment, and we're all in contact on WhatsApp. And they're sort of all over the world. There's a lady in New York, New Zealand, Australia, all over the UK, in our little stem cell group WhatsApp.
Oh, brilliant stuff, brilliant stuff. I think it's great. Like, is stem cell the procedure, is it publicized to people, do you know? Or, because it sounds like something, just remind me, how did you find out about it?
I literally went to a talk, because when you get diagnosed, everyone has a cure. And someone said, oh, you know, it's like a friend of a friend said, oh, my sister had MS and she had a stem cell transplant. And I'm like, oh, and I'd heard about it before. And they said that 50% got worse or died. So I just gone, nope, not interested, not interested. But then I went to this talk and this girl, you know, ran across the stage. And then she said, you know, I was in a wheelchair, but, you know, and I was like, what do you mean? She was like, I was in a wheelchair, but I had a stem cell transplant. And I was like, this is incredible. So during this talk, and then when the doctor said, there's nothing else we can do for you, I was like, I'll have a stem cell transplant. And it's because I'd seen her and she'd had it done. So I was like, yes, I'm going to do it. Because I just wasn't willing to give up. But you can get it done in the UK. Obviously, it's much more expensive. There's a very limited amount that you can get it on the NHS. But the criteria is obviously, because it's so expensive, the criteria is very, very strict. I think you have to have tried, this is back in 2019, you had to have tried at least 3 DMTs, so disease modifying therapies, and they had to have failed. That's the first criteria. I think the second criteria is you can't have had MS for a certain amount of time, or it had to be within a certain amount of time. So the criteria would have changed now, but it was very strict criteria just because of the costings, I think. And also, it's quite a powerful treatment. You're literally having chemotherapy. So right. You're opting, you know. So I raised, you know, I fundraised to go and have chemotherapy. And the treatment was a pretty hardcore treatment, you know, to have. So you're like literally going and paying money to have. In Russia, I had my neck slit because I had, you know, tubes going into my spine to harvest my stem cells. You know, and all my medication was put through my neck. So I've still got 2 like scars on my neck where all my treatment went. So it's you have to be quite hardcore to even say, yep, yeah, I'm going to do that.
Gosh. We're just going to another quick ad break and we'll be right back.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, aunt and deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
Strawberries and cream. A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
The station that makes you feel good.
So Kezia, let's talk a bit more about some of the fundraising. You're involved in fundraising and you've been getting involved in tandem skydiving. Talk to us about all of that. What's going on?
Well, the tandem skydive, it was by accident, if I'm honest. I'm not a superhero at all. So I was in oxygen, and as I left oxygen, because I was late because my daughter was on the school, so I was meant to be on the school run, so I didn't want to be late for my daughter. So I was literally rushing out of oxygen, grabbing my keys to jump in the car. And one of my friends said, Kezia, you'll jump out of an airplane for charity. And I was like, when is it? It depends when it is. Check my diary. If I'm free. And she goes, would you do it though? I said, honestly, I said, check my diary. I'm really busy. If I'm not working, then just stick me down. And that was it. And then suddenly I was like, oh, wow, I can't believe you're doing it. And I was like,
she caught you off guard, didn't she?
Yes, she's really, really naughty. Anyway, you have to have, for insurance purposes, doctor's sign off. And then she basically said that her doctor wouldn't sign off to have her do it. And I was like, oh. And so lots of people, in fact, every other person with MS, doctor wouldn't sign them off. Unbelievably, my doctor signed me off to do it. That's I was brilliant, like, oh my it? Gosh. So I joke about her
a
now.
A part of you, Kezia, a part of you. Was you thinking, I hope he doesn't sign me for this.
I hope he signed me off. See, I was thinking that all of us would just get signed off. And then someone says, oh, the doctor won't sign you off to do it. And I was like, oh, okay. And I thought, oh, that's a shame. And the manager, she was obviously going to do it. And all of her family have plotted in to do it. And the physios are doing it. And I was like, oh, it would just be them lot doing it then. And then so I rang the surgery like every other day and said, hello, just Kezia, I've left some paperwork in. Can you see if she'll sign it? Can you see if they'll sign it? And I think they probably just got sick of me calling, to be honest. So, I'm the only one, as far as I know, with MS that is actually going to be doing it. I know there's 9 of us all together. But yeah, I say to her, I can't believe I'm doing this to support you and you're not even doing it. So I'm not doing it because I'm amazing. I'm doing it because I was caught off guard. But now that I've agreed to do it, I've started fundraising. And so I think I'm up to about 320 so far, but I'm hoping it'll be billions by the time I'm there.
Brilliant. That is fantastic. That's a lot of money.
Yeah. Yeah, so the more we can raise, the better, because the centre is self-funded. They don't have any government funding at all. So anything that they get, you know, is by donations. And I mean, the manager, I was saying to someone the other day, she's absolutely brilliant. She was literally, someone was like, oh, I need to lose weight. And she was like, great, we'll do it for charity. She goes, we'll set up a Just Giving page and you can lose weight and we'll raise money for that. And then someone else was saying how hairy, it's just like, you will do a sponsored back wax. And it's like, she's always come up with all these crazy ideas. I mean, to give her due, she's like doing also, she's doing a zip wire. She's doing an abseil. She'll be jumping out of an airplane with me.
Oh gosh, right.
So she does, you know, she puts her money where her mouth is, as it were. But they have to raise all their money just to pay for the everyday bills, you know, so it's important.
Will you be ziplining at some point or doing anything else?
Oh my gosh, I'm sure they will put my name down.
I think you're going to get involved.
I know. I think she put me down for an abseil and I was like, let me jump out of a plane first, because those that weren't allowed to jump out the plane are doing an abseil. And I was like, when is it? If I've got time, because I'm like, I'm spending all of my time off, like jumping out planes and abseiling and zip wiring. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have to work in between these crazy things.
Oh gosh. Are you excited? How are you feeling about it?
I've done the classic, put my fingers in my ears and pretend it's not happening. Again, if I'm honest, I'm like, and someone's like, you're not worried. And I said, I'm more slightly concerned about the landing. And I said, but it will be okay, because ignorance is bliss is what I'm going with. But I think obviously I'll be attached to someone else. So it's their responsibility, not mine.
Of course,
and as long as they're taller than me, they all land first.
So
I'm 5'1", so they've got to be taller than me. You know, there's no way I'm going to have anyone shorter. So that's what I'm going with. It will be fine. It's their issue, not mine.
Is it going to be in Leicester where you live, or where's the...
No, it's in Nottingham. I think it's Nottinghamshire.
Oh, okay.
So it's not too far.
Do you know the exact location, or...?
I will know it. At the moment, I'm still going along the, it will be fine, fingers in my ears, it'll be all right.
But the view will be brilliant, won't it?
It will be incredible. My brother said he thinks that I will love it and wants to do it over and over again. I was like, I'm not sure. And he says, I bet you do. I bet you'll absolutely love it, because it's the closest thing to being a bird there is, isn't it?
It is.
So apparently there'll be 30 seconds of just sheer, well...
air.
Fear first, and then just being... I have no idea. I'm guessing what it'll be like. I'll let you know.
I think it's fantastic what you're doing. Are there fundraising ideas or events planned for you, or are you thinking of doing? Or
yes, straight after I've jumped the 31st of August, I've held a fundraising day. So we've got performers. I'm looking for various donations. We've got a raffle on as well. So this was my original plan, to do a fundraising day, and then ended up doing the tandem skydive on top of that. But that will be really good, because it's the New Parks Community Hub have let me have the hub for the day on Sunday the 31st. And we've got, you know, I've got loads of great performers. I've got 2 dance troupes. I've got some guitarists. I've got a poet coming. And then there'll be I've managed to persuade so many people to have tombolas, and there's a chocolate tombola. The Odd Fellows are going to run that for me, and there'll be food and drink. So it should be a wonderful day. We've also got glitter tattoos, a lady doing those. So yeah, it should be an amazing day. I'm hoping it'll be, you know, nice and warm, but not boiling.
So oh, we'll it sounds out. Like it's going to be brilliant. I think it's still a good part of the year, isn't it?
31st of August. So it should be, yeah, I think it'll be good. And hopefully absolutely. We'll have bits outside as well as in the actual hub as well.
Yeah, yeah. What message would you give to anyone that feels trapped or limited by a disability?
Just to be your own advocate. I think that is so important. You know, do your own research. Because there are certain diets that you can try. I mean, at the moment I'm doing keto and that works for me. But also, you know, it's not, you know, ask for help if you need help. There is no shame whatsoever in asking for help. It doesn't make you less of a person, and having a disability doesn't make you less of a person. I think if anything, it makes you more, you know, more strong of a person, because you have to work out ways to do things, and you can do things, you just have to adapt. But it is so important not to think of yourself as less, because the disability, you know, that doesn't own you. You might have a disability, but you are still the same person. And it's very important not to forget that. And moreover, not to be ashamed to ask for help, because everyone needs help, regardless of disability or not. And that's okay. It takes a strong person to say, look, I'm struggling. I could do with a bit of help.
Absolutely. I think those are some wise words. If people want to touch base with you, and maybe get some advice around MS or want to use your services holistic therapy wise, where's best to find you?
Yeah, I've got a website, www.kellebeckholistics.co.uk. I'm on Facebook, so if you type in Rose Tinted on Facebook, or Kellebeck on Facebook as well, you can find me on LinkedIn. It's Kezia. And you can also find my book on Amazon, which is Rose Tinted, My Story. So the M and then little Y, big S, so it's MS, so My Story. So yeah, and that gives all the things I said I would never share. And I wrote them all down because people shouldn't be embarrassed. So when I came out, I was like, right, I'm going to write this all down, because it's nice to know that you're not alone.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for coming on the show, Kezia. Always a pleasure to have you on.
Yes, thank you.
And thank you to our listeners. You know, you can find me on Instagram at GavinJ417. Until next time, take care.